Dominic Companies delivered by TriStar Moving 1025, 1063. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to Superbook Sports. We are live out here at Super Bowl Radio Row, getting you set from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. And our coverage is presented by Social Furniture. Stillman & Company, live on Radio Row, brought to you by Social Furniture on Charlotte Avenue in the Richland Creek Shopping Center. Pay no money down and pay no interest for 1 year right now during their tax refund sale. So yesterday, Pac-Man Jones, by the way, will join us in less than 20 minutes. And I should note this. Ian had to, we taped the interview, which was a really good thing because we could not have done Pac-Man live on the radio. Ian, how many times did you have to edit a bad word that came out of Pac-Man's mouth?
I don't know the exact number off the top of my head. I didn't, you know, track it as I went, but I'm going to say approximately 7.
Okay, so we talk about everything with Pac-Man, so be excited about that. So Thomas Dimitroff, a former NFL general manager, was on our show yesterday. We were talking about if the Titans decide to move off of Ryan Tannehill and if the Titans decide to enter in the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes, you know, what all factors into that as a general manager. And he brought up the owner. And I thought what he brought up was a fascinating opinion that came out of the general manager. What if Rodgers tells Vrabel, you know, hey, I'm in it. 2 years, I'm in it. Derrick Henry's probably got about 2 years left. I'm in it. Let's go for it. You can count on me. Then would you say, okay, we'll do it and we'll deal the 11th pick for Aaron Rodgers?
You're taking a lot of money in it, right? There's
a lot
involved.
You got to take the money.
You got to take the money. Look, this is one of the things that I would put to you as well. I would say my next time around, if I ever got it, or I would tell any of my rising executive buddies, you go right to your owner and you get clear communication with them. Is this a hit if we bring Aaron Rodgers in here and we get to the AFC Championship? Mm-hmm. If you're telling me I have to win a Super Bowl for 2 years and it's a hit or otherwise, I'm on the way out because I made a stupid decision. I want expectations from my owner. It is vital. What if 2 years is fine and you get wherever you get, if you're expecting 4 years and you're expecting me to cajole this quarterback to be here longer and do great things and be in the championship each year, that's tough. You need to know expectations, I think, before you make that kind of decision. I know that seems a little counterintuitive because it's all about winning, but if you're only winning for 1 year and you trade away the 11, man, that's an uneasy situation to be in.
Okay. And I thought about this. That, what he said, stuck with me because I then thought, well, what are the expectations if the Titans get Aaron Rodgers? And I agree. I think Amy needs to sit down with Mike and needs to say, hey, these are the expectations if this happens. These are the expectations if this happens. And these are the expectations if this happens. And I think the three different avenues here, the first is if the Titans run it back with Ryan Tannehill, what are the fair expectations for Mike Vrabel? What are the fair expectations for Rand Carthon? What are the fair expectations for the team? And I would say if Tannehill comes back and Aaron Rodgers is not the quarterback, my expectations would be to win the AFC South. You got to win the division and then be the fourth team probably in the conference. You know, right there with the Chargers, and one of these teams is going to have a down year because this is how the league always works. Nobody thought Green Bay was going to miss the playoffs this year. But right now, I think we know it's Kansas City, Cincinnati, and Buffalo at the top of the AFC. If Tannehill comes back, they should improve the line. They should improve the receivers. They should get a premium player who will help out right away with the 11th overall pick. And the Titans should win the division, and that should be the expectation, and get into that divisional round, and then maybe, who knows, have a chance. And if they exceed the expectation, good. But if Tannehill's the quarterback and Derrick Henry's the running back, to me, that's the expectation. Number two, if they get Aaron Rodgers, if the Titans make the move and they get Aaron Rodgers, and now they're on Sunday Night Football every week, and now they're Tony Romo's in town, the expectations change. And for me, my expectations are I would expect the Titans to be able to compete with Buffalo, Kansas City, and Cincinnati. Now, that doesn't mean that they would be the best team in the AFC, and that's not me saying that if the Titans don't get to the Super Bowl, then everybody should be fired. But if the Titans don't get to the divisional round of the playoffs, if the Titans don't make the playoffs, if that happens, then that is a complete and total unmitigated disastrous failure. It reminds me, and I know people don't want to hear this, especially Aaron, it reminds me of when Aaron Rodgers went to, or when Brett Favre went to the Vikings. And that Vikings team was in overtime in the NFC Championship game. That would be my expectation for the Titans, to be right there with those three teams. And honestly, like the AFC Championship game, it wouldn't be like when they made it a couple years ago when it was, wow, look at how they did it. And it wouldn't be what I thought it was like if they were to make the AFC Championship game with Tannehill, where I'd say, wow, look at how they did it. No, no, no. The expectation would be close in the divisional round or AFC Championship. The other thing is if they go in a different direction and if they go get a young guy. And again, a lot of people want to go that route. And I have been told who the source of the Bears blog is. And so I kind of believe the report that the Titans reached out for the number one pick. If you do that, the expectations have to be you're going to be bad. And Amy's got to be on board with that. Amy's got to be okay with that. Amy has to understand that it's okay if that's the route they go, to know that, hey, we're going to be 5-12. We're going to be 6-11. Like, we're going to be awful if you're out there with Bryce Young at quarterback every day. Rookie quarterbacks, Brock Purdy is the exception to the rule. Rookie quarterbacks struggle in the NFL. So those would be my three expectations for all three guys. And I do think that Amy probably conveys some of this to Mike. I don't know how directly, but I do think that those should be outlined before the start of the season. And when Thomas Dimitroff said that about, hey, they're going to make this move for Aaron Rodgers, the owner better be on the up and up with me as to what's next and what we're going to do. That, I think, is fair. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Let's roll through some of your phones because we haven't had a lot of time for phones today. And the one thing that has given me pause on this whole Aaron Rodgers Titans thing, when I kind of agree with TD, who said he'd roll it back with Tannehill and Henry, we'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, FanDuel Sportsbook is my official sportsbook app. That's right. In fact, not to brag, but tomorrow night I will be at the FanDuel party here at the Super Bowl, which I'm excited about. You know I love my friends at FanDuel, and you know my friends at FanDuel love me, and they love you too. And they want you to know that we all have our systems when we bet, from picking the perfect upset to combing through injury reports the night before the game. But there's one thing every bettor should include in their system: the responsible gaming tools available on FanDuel Sportsbook. These tools help keep your play in check and under control. Tools like time limits, so you don't unknowingly spend more time on the app than you intend. Wager limits to help prevent you from betting more than you should. And you can even take a timeout, which pauses your account for as long as you may need. FanDuel wants every bettor's experience to be about fun and entertainment. So visit FanDuel.com/playwell and make responsible gaming tools a part of your system. 21 and older and present in Tennessee. For FanDuel, got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. I promise you I'm going to give you my all for 2 years. You're going to get 2 years of me. It's going to cost you the 11th overall pick, $30 million more at the quarterback position, and Tannehill in order to get the deal done, because you're going to have to cut Tannehill or trade Tannehill or whatever. What would you rather have? Tannehill, the 11th pick and the $30 million, or Aaron Rodgers?
You know, I would probably want Aaron Rodgers in that scenario, but I also would need to prepare myself for I got to get a quarterback again. You know, but I think to me, I would have a legitimate chance for 2 years to win, especially if I can enhance the team around him. I'm going to have to get better receivers. I can't let A.J. Brown walk out of the building over very little. It wasn't a big amount that he left over. So I got to be able to get that. I got to build the team around him. See, the thing is now where they are with Tannehill, they can develop their team and strengthen their team with Tannehill. Now they got to hit on draft picks. They can't miss. I mean, one of the reasons Robinson's not there is they missed on too many picks. I mean, they hit on some down the road, but they missed on those critical first-round picks. Is Farley going to be good enough? You know, there's a lot of issues there. So I would lean towards getting the great player. The shelf life would be a little bit more important to me.
It was Mike Lombardi talking about how, hey, you know what? $30 million, 11th overall pick, Tannehill or Rodgers? Yeah, I go Rodgers. And I thought to myself, wow, like a former general manager, it's not the, well, you know, it's the 11th overall pick, and the 11th overall pick could be worth 4 years at cheap value and good labor. And no, it was, yeah, you know, I think I'd still go with the better player, even though he's 39, even though all the different, yeah, I'd still go with Aaron Rodgers. And we had Thomas Dimitrov on the program yesterday too, former general manager in Atlanta. Now, he was concerned about the whole idea of Aaron Rodgers' age and how long he'd want to play, and that he wouldn't do that for 1 year, which is fine. But, you know, if you get 2 years and the owner's cool with it and the owner sets the expectations for him, then he'd be interested in doing that too. And kind of the vibe I got from talking to both guys was the idea that Tannehill is what he is, which is that Ryan Tannehill cannot win against the elite quarterbacks in the playoffs. This was the whole point I was screaming about all last offseason, was in order to get to the Super Bowl out of the AFC, you're going to have to go through at least twice, no matter what, but probably more likely three times, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, this one, that one, whatever. So it'd be one thing if it was one guy, because if that one guy was on a team and that one guy's team freaking sucked, like Tom Brady's team in Tampa Bay this year, then you can beat that team even if Tom Brady's their quarterback. So if Cincinnati has a bunch of injuries, or they can never fix their offensive line, or if Buffalo plays the way they play towards the end of the season, in which they really weren't all that great, or if Kansas City, you know, something were to happen, you know, Andy Reid were to retire, they'd have a new coach in there, and they weren't that good, you'd still have to go through the other quarterbacks, and that you'd have to beat them two or three times, more likely three than two. And I just never thought that Ryan Tannehill could go and beat this quarterback and then beat that quarterback and then beat him again. Because in one of those games, Ryan Tannehill is going to have to outshoot somebody. He didn't have to outshoot Tom Brady. He didn't have to outshoot Lamar Jackson. He had to outshoot Patrick Mahomes, and he couldn't, and Kansas City went Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers gives you the potential to play with those guys. And yet, if you get Aaron Rodgers, the max you're talking about doing this is for 2 years. Solomon Wilcots was on the show earlier today, and he said every year I asked him about Derrick Henry and how long Derrick Henry could continue to be Derrick Henry. And he said, it's a year-to-year league. No matter what, it's a year-to-year league. So you say, oh, well, 3 years from now. You don't know 3 years from now. The only team that has any certainty 2 or 3 years down the road right now is the Cleveland Browns with their quarterback, because they guaranteed all of his money. But I was surprised that former GMs, guys that have had success, Dimitrov did a good job in Atlanta. He had the first wave with Matt Ryan and Roddy Jones and Julio Jones and that group, Roddy White and Julio Jones in that group that got to an NFC championship game and kind of choked it away and probably should have won. And then he had that second group with Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and Dan Quinn and Kyle Shanahan, and we all know 28-3. He did a good job. And I was surprised that even he wasn't like, you know, oh no, Tannehill, he's your guy. They both were kind of about Tannehill. And so when it was Brady, when the idea of bringing in Tom Brady was on the table for me, and all it is money, you know, $27 million for Tannehill, probably $28 for Brady, no pick in exchange, and I know it's probably a one-year thing with Tom Brady, I'm thinking to myself, do it. Because I do think Brady can outshoot those other quarterbacks even at 46 years old, if he has to. On the other side of it, when it became just Rodgers and Tannehill and Brady was out, I leaned more towards Brady. I leaned more towards Tannehill and not Rodgers. Rodgers is a kook. Rodgers is old too. Rodgers wants it his way or the highway. Rodgers is going to cost $30 million extra and probably a first round pick. You're probably better off running it with Tannehill. Try to fix all the problems you already have, and then go from there. But when the former GM say, Tannehill's got a ceiling, I think I'd prefer Rodgers. If he tells me that it's more than just 1 year, I was kind of surprised. I was kind of taken aback. And it's making me rethink. It's making me think, are they better off with Aaron Rodgers than they are with Ryan Tannehill? It's making me think that that's a real possibility here, that even the Titans say to themselves, Rand Carthon, who pled the fifth when it came to Tannehill, that he's thinking, nah, Tannehill can only get you so far. And I'm not interested in as far as Ryan Tannehill can get me. I need better than that. Makes me a little nervous as to what's ahead at the quarterback position. I do wonder how they feel about Tannehill. And again, using the line that we keep hearing is Tannehill's good enough, but does Mike Vrabel think that that's okay, that that's good enough, and then that he can do the rest? Or does he want somebody else with the ball in their hands at the game on the line? And they'll never tell you. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Let's get back to your phones. 615-737-1025. Texter says, maybe that is why both Dimitrov and Lombardi are former general managers. I mean, we can say that about everybody. But when Bill Polian says something, it means more to me than when you say it. You know, and it's just kind of the nature of these guys. I mean, look, when Lombardi sat down here yesterday, he was wearing a Super Bowl ring. Okay. Dimitrov, I have a ton of respect for Dimitrov and a lot of the picks that he made, guys like Deion Jones and the teams that he built in Atlanta. And I think he probably deserves a second chance. You know, he did hire Rand Carthon to his first personnel job. I'm a big fan. Don't be throwing those general managers under the bus. You know, it's a lot like doctors. There are good doctors. There are bad doctors. But for the most part, every single doctor who graduated from medical school knows more about whatever it is you're talking about than you do. I sent a message today. Solomon Wilcox came by to pump these little pills that he brought with him. Composure. You know, talking about these rapidly relieving situational stress. Talking about people with road rage or, you know, anxiety or whatever, to take these composure pills. And I don't know why I'm pumping them so loud, because it's really free, but it's like I'm going to need a doctor to look at this before I take it. And I don't care if the doctor is a neonatologist or if the doctor is an internist or if the doctor is a foot surgeon. They still know more about it than I do. That's how I feel about all these general managers that have been in the league, that have done these things, that have watched this tape, is, you know, if that was your job on the line, $30 million, first round pick, would you be willing to risk it to go at Aaron Rodgers? And they were saying yes, if Aaron met the conditions. I was a little surprised by that. 615-737-1025. Adam, the Pac-Man Jones, he will join us next. His thoughts on the Titans now. His thoughts on the Titans when he was here. His thoughts on why it didn't work out. Ian has edited out the profanity from Adam Jones, the Pac-Man. He joins us next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Stillman & Company, live on Radio Row, brought to you by Social Furniture on Charlotte Avenue in the Richland Creek Shopping Center. Pay no money down and no interest for 1 year right now during their tax refund sale. Joined now by Pac-Man Jones. Do you want to be Pac-Man
Jones?
Yes,
Pac-Man Jones.
Now, Pac-Man and I are technically co-workers because I do part-time weekends on Mad Dog Sports Radio. You're with I Am Athlete. You guys did a great job last night. So, Pac, first thing I said to you when I saw you was, I said, hey, I do the show that Floyd Reese used to be on. He and I were together for 5 years. Obviously, Floyd passed away. But he always, even though things didn't go great in Tennessee with you, at the end especially, he always defended the player you were. And I felt like he was proud of the career that you had in the NFL.
And I totally agree. You know, it didn't work out in Tennessee, but I have nothing but great things to say about Floyd. You know, he changed my entire life. No feeling was better than getting drafted, you know, besides my kids and stuff. But what he's done for me as a person, the relationship we had when he was here, man, the conversations that we've had, telling me never to give up, to calling Coach Lewis, to getting me to Cincinnati, like, my respect for him is count countless.
You know what's funny about that? You brought up the him calling Coach Lewis. I think what people don't know about him, and I've talked about this a lot. I talked about this a lot when he was alive and still on the air, but was how much he would do for people behind the scenes and never talk about it and never take credit for it.
Yeah. I don't think he get enough credit of the guys that he brung in and the talent that he brung to the team. But, you know, if you look at the guys that he brung in, they had long careers. It wasn't like
Keith Bullock. You.
Steve McNair. Me.
Eddie George.
Cal Vanderbosch. Eddie George.
Haynesworth.
The list goes on, but he did a great job, man. I hope he watching down over us, and I'm trying to give him his flowers. But, yeah, Floyd was my dude, man.
Pac, what do you think about the Titans now when you look at them?
Titans just a team. They got a really great running back. Tannehill is a Andy Dalton. He can't beat you with his
What do you think about Tannehill when you played against him?
I've never really, like, he couldn't beat us.
Mm-hmm.
He got one. He used to could throw the deep ball pretty decent, but, like, comeback digs, I don't think he has. He's not elite, but he's not trash.
Mm-hmm.
He's in that class of the BC.
Mm-hmm.
The Baker Mayfields.
Derek Carr.
The Derek Carrs.
Kirk Cousins. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Kirk can throw the ball everywhere. He just don't have no
Pac-Man Jones is with us. Pac-Man, what do you think about the – there's all this talk. You were in the same draft class as Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And there's all this talk about Aaron may go to the Titans, and people are saying the Titans would be a good fit for Aaron. What do you think about that, if that was a possibility for Vrabel and company?
I don't think Green Bay let Aaron go. Like,
they're trying to kick him out, though.
That's every year they say that. He ain't going nowhere. Especially not the way they played the last ending of the season. I don't think he's going nowhere.
Really? Do you think that the Titans would have any chance, because they were number one seed in the AFC and then Tannehill threw the three interceptions, Pac-Man Jones is with us. Do you think that they have a chance with a good offseason to be able to get back to competing with Kansas City, Cincinnati, and Buffalo?
Well, I don't know about competing with Kansas City and Cincinnati and Buffalo, but I think they have a great chance of winning division.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my opinion. The three teams that you name have hell of a defense and a hell of a quarterback and good running backs, but great receivers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big difference. I don't know if we put Tennessee in a category of those three teams, but Tennessee is a good team. And for the division, they're really good. That division is okay. And we found that out when Jacksonville went up there and got their handed to them.
Pac-Man, when you look back on your time in Tennessee, you were really young. And I remember the Titans had a first-round pick a couple years ago that didn't work out. And I was asking Floyd at the time when he was still with us about, you know, kind of, you know, the process of what happened with you in Tennessee. When you look back on that, what kind of do you look at as this was unfair in terms of the way I was portrayed, this was not right about what was said, or this was not right about what I was a part of?
You know, during that time, yeah, but life is what it is. Like, I can't go back and change. We all know it was unfair. I never had the chance to talk about anything.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't heard not one quote about nothing that I've been through from me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've always was with the old media, hey, don't say nothing. We're going to handle it. No matter if you're right or wrong, if you say something, it's going to make it worse. And it kind of f***ed me. But at the end of the day, man, I'm a survivor. I'm a warrior. I took the good with the bad. Twisted in, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it helped me as a person, though. So all my trials and tribulations got me standing here talking about this and being a role model and laughing at the good, crying at the bad, and taking it all together and just enjoying it, man, and being an example for somebody else.
Do you wish now that you say you're a role model, do you wish that you could have done things differently when you were younger? I mean, a lot of us wish we could do things differently when we were younger and we look back on it in our 20s and things like that. Do you look at that at all?
Of course. We'd be foolish to say we went did things different. Mm-hmm. In hindsight, yeah, we did a lot of things different. But like I said, it is what it is. Spoiled milk, can't cry over it.
So
know.
Here's the thing that I think I think about a lot. Pac-Man Jones is with us. I mean, I was in high school when all that happened, and like the details about like, you know, what happened in Las Vegas and all of that. But like the little things that used to matter in like our society. I remember when Honey Badger was at LSU and he kept getting suspended for smoking weed. And it was like, bad guy for smoking weed.
And I was a bad guy because I went to the strip clubs.
That's exactly where I was going. You went to the strip club.
I love the strip clubs. And you got to realize in Atlanta, the strip clubs is a regular club. We go to eat at the strip club. Don't have that in Nashville.
Wasn't that Lou
but
Williams
Magic
that
City?
Got those, the wings at Magic
yes.
Lou Williams?
Yeah. Magic City have the best food that you can go to a five-star restaurant here. You won't get the same meal that you can get in Magic. And that's what it is in Atlanta. Not you can go Onyx, have unbelievable food. Like, that is what Atlanta is known for. It's not going to the strip club to see some girls. You know what I mean? It's almost a regular party.
So you weren't going to the strip club to see some girls?
Yeah, that too. Hell yeah.
Pac-Man Jones is with us. Do you wish it had gone better in Tennessee? And you know what's funny? You know what I tell people,
You
Pac?
Know what? I love the Tennessee. I just think I was above my – I was before my time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the stuff I was doing, they weren't ready for yet. Like, the jumping down the pole, now you can't even use nothing for a prop. The kicking over the pylon. Now you can't kick over the pylon. The driving fast cars, you know what I mean? The Lambos, having 20 cars, having 50 people, which was my family, at every game. I just think I was a little bit flamboyant. I did a lot of with my ass out in the street when I was young because I just didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
A wise man told me, like, you ain't doing that wrong. You're just doing it with your ass out in the street. So, man, it is what it is. I left Tennessee, had a chance to meet Jerry, which was one of the best things of my life.
In Dallas.
And then I had a chance to go and play to me, one of the best owners in football, Mr. Brown, with the Bengals.
Pac-Man Jones is with us. I'm going to tell you a story, Pac, that, I asked Floyd one time. I said, you know, Pac, when you drafted him, you know, what did you think about doing homework on your background? He said, all I know is there was one incident at West Virginia where a guy used the N-word and he took a pool cue and hit him in the head. And you
That's
know what
true.
Floyd said to me? He said, I said to myself, if I was in his spot and somebody had said that, I think I would have taken a pool cue and hit him over the head with it.
Yeah. Floyd was unbelievable, man. He got a chance to come see me, my whole family, my whole makeup before they drafted me. So he knew me as a person, not what everybody was saying. He got a chance to read the whole book and not just the cover.
What would you say, Pac, to the people in Nashville who, you know, I was in, gosh, well, I must have been a sophomore in high school your last year that you were with the Titans. And I remember that team got hot at the end of the year and ended up just barely missing the playoffs. And I tell people that you were the best player on that team.
Yeah.
And that team had Vince Young, who was Rookie of the Year. That team had Albert Haynesworth, who was a monster in the middle, Keith Bullock, Chris Hope. You know, it was a really, really good team. Kevin Mawai, who's in the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
But at that point in time, you were the best player on that team. And not only that, as a punt returner, people forget about how dangerous you were at that point in time. When you look back on it, the people in Nashville who think, oh, you know, Pac-Man was going to be a great player and it didn't work out and he let us down.
I was a great player.
What would you say to the people that in Tennessee felt let down?
You can't say that Pac was going to be a great player. I was a great player.
You were. You were the best player on that team.
I made Pro Bowl.
I
played 13 years after being suspended, after breaking my neck, coming back, and playing 9 more years. So, ain't no – he would have been good. I was good. but as far as the stuff in Nashville, it was a short term. It was a short term, but I played better than any cornerback that they've drafted in the first round. My 2 years in Nashville, besides Samari, was better than any corner, any punt returner they done had. my 2 years was better than the four that they had that they drafted. So it didn't work out in Nashville. I love Nashville. Nashville will always have a place in my heart. But, yeah, like, I gave y'all what I had. You know, it didn't work out. And I gave y'all $2 million back, so it should be good.
You gave him $2 million back? How'd that come about?
Because that's how much I had to give him to leave. I was out of there. I was mentally done with it, you know, at that point. I was almost like the Kyrie situation. I didn't feel like the people and the media didn't know my worth. Like, everything I did was a problem. Same way with him in Brooklyn. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that was my output on it.
What do you think, last one for you, Pac-Man Jones is with us. What do you think as far as how you want to be remembered as a player in the NFL?
I want to be remembered as a guy that did it his way. Played hard, played in between the lines, and was one of the best to do it. It's hard to be All-Pro and Pro Bowl and go and lock a guy down for three plays and then go catch a punt return and score a touchdown. Then go on offense and get a reverse and score a touchdown. That's not easy to do.
I actually lied. I have one more. Do you still root for the Titans?
Yeah. Hell yeah. The Titans, Cowboys, and, of course, the Bengals. Those are my three teams.
Pat, good to see you. Thanks for stopping by.
No
Thanks
problem,
for
brother.
This, man. Pac-Man Jones, Stillman & Company continues from Radio Row right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Yes, they do.
Stillman & Company, we've had a little change of plans. Normally, Hal Gill joins us at 5:30. Hal's going to join us at 5. Today is we're going to – and I love Hal, but I'm coming for him today after that game that we saw the game that we saw the other night against Vegas. And speaking of Hal Gill, Preds fans, if you want to win tickets in the lower bowl section 102, just text the keyword Superbook, all one word, to the game text line at 615-737-1025, and you'll be entered for a chance to win with 102.5, 106.3 The Game, and you can win with Superbook. So here's the question I have for everybody out there. What did y'all think of that Pac-Man Jones interview? Because I will say this. I think maybe I was a little easy on Pac-Man, you know, from a standpoint of not pushing back more against, like, yeah, I know you like the strip club, but at the same time, you got a guy paralyzed in Las Vegas. But I felt like, this is going to sound crazy, I'd never met Pac-Man until we did that interview. He seemed like, before when I asked him if he'd come on, he seemed like a cool guy. Like, he seemed like he'd be fun to be around. And he was so nice about doing it. I was like, hey, I'm in Nashville, do this interview with you. Yeah, I'll do it. I was like, yeah, I used to host a show with Floyd. He's, oh, I love him. Oh, my God. He stopped. He goes, Floyd Reese, God rest his soul. I love that man. And I think you guys heard that in the interview there. And then the other thing about Pac-Man is I think I'm going to have to go to a strip club in Atlanta and try the food. I mean, Ian, I think that may be next up on our to-do list of this program is we may have to go to Atlanta, go to a strip club. I mean, the way he was talking about the food at the strip club in Atlanta, you know?
He made it sound like it was legit. Yeah.
You did hear when I said, you went for the girl.
Yes, and he did not deny that part as well.
He did not deny it. Okay, 615-737-1025. That was one of the more fun interviews that I've done. I do want to get people's opinions. I do want to get people's opinions on the Pac-Man interview because I enjoyed it so much. But we're going to talk about the basketball game last night for a quick second, a little brief minute here. And Vanderbilt beats Tennessee last night. And here's my big takeaway from the game. Now, I did not watch the game. I saw the end, and then I saw the highlights on SportsCenter last night. First of all, the fact that the kid from Tennessee did not dunk the ball to go up by four with 6 seconds left was truly game misconduct. I mean, it was embarrassing. I could not believe that they did that. So that's first. The second thing is, let's look at Tennessee. This loss is why nobody can trust Tennessee basketball ever, and why nobody can trust Rick Barnes, because Rick Barnes' history is he will build a team up and he will have good enough players to win, and then he will lose, And then after the game, it'll be, ah, gee, shucks, ah, you know, whatever, this is it. And this Tennessee team has dropped too many games this season where I thought, okay, Tennessee might actually be good, and then they lose at home to Kentucky. Or then they smoke Texas, and I'm driving and hearing Joe Rexroad talk about the idea that Tennessee may be a number one seed, and then they turn around and lose to Florida. Or Tennessee having a good season, they go on the road, they lose to Vandy. I mean, it's just, if you want to believe, somebody tweeted me after the Texas game, because I tweeted out the night of the game that they beat Texas. I said, you know, I watched Tennessee curb stomp a top 10 opponent at home, and yet I can't watch this game without thinking, but come March, what's going to happen? What's going to happen in March? I was talking with one of my bosses at SiriusXM, and he was asking him about, you know, how much do people talk baseball in Nashville? And I was like, we don't. And he was like, what about basketball? And I was like, we don't. And he was like, what about college basketball? I was like, a little bit. The problem is with Tennessee, everybody knows Tennessee's going to choke it away. And I'm not saying they should fire the coach. Like, I think Rick Barnes is perfect for what Tennessee is, which is he gives Tennessee fans something to do, because those teams are good enough that he gives them something to do between the months of January and March while football season's over. Then they get to have baseball season now. And then by the time baseball season's over in May and June for Tennessee, they can re-energize their thoughts on football. They don't care if they win the national championship in basketball. You know, they're not happy when they do lose, but they're not mad about it that much after the fact. And it looks like this Tennessee team is the same as all the others. Now, here's Vandy. I'm saying this. Vandy's gotten better this year. But if you say this about Vandy, this is the win that Jerry Stackhouse got that is going to mean more than it should. Jerry Stackhouse has done nothing at Vanderbilt. He has not made the NCAA tournament. He has not come close to making the NCAA tournament. And he's not going to make the NCAA tournament this year. We in the world of reality do not care about the NIT. We want to be in the NCAA tournament or else it doesn't count. And Jerry's not going to be there this year. But what that win was last night, because of who it was against and what they were ranked and everything else, this is proof to the pro-Jerry types like Joe Rexroad that, see, Jerry is a good coach. Look at how much better this team has gotten. Stackhouse is a good coach. You guys don't get it. You guys don't know. Trust in Jerry. Look, it was one win. Tennessee flubbed it at the end. It's not going to, it doesn't mean anything for the program other than, yes, you beat your rival at home and it was dramatic with the three at the end of the game and it was great. Doesn't mean anything else. But because Vanderbilt believes in Jerry, they are going to use this to see. This is why we gave him the extension, because we knew that it was an uphill climb. We knew that it was going to be hard for Jerry Stackhouse to put this on the, we knew. And I hear that, and I think to myself, oh, man. That one win right there, that's another 3 years of Jerry. So I hope I'm wrong about this. I hope that Vanderbilt can look at that game as what it was, which it's a good win, and it means something because it's Tennessee. But don't make it out to be more than it is, which is it was a one win, and the team's improving, and good for them. Not Jerry is our guy. Because Jerry Stackhouse has no resume at Vanderbilt. He just doesn't. And it would be nice, going back to, you know, the discussion about how much college basketball do we talk and how much do you all care about college basketball. It would be nice if, like, Vanderbilt were good. And we at least kind of had that to talk about. You know, again, it's not going to move the needle more than talking about the quarterback situation of the football team. And I don't know if, you know, the Titans or the, because they're never going to be more important than Titans. I don't know if they're ever going to, you know, be more relevant in town than the Predators, at this point, given the pro sports nature of the town, but the Predators certainly are not helping themselves out. Like, I don't know which one's going to be which, you know, long term. But right now, Vandy, they're so far off the map that a game like last night should get out if Vandy was, you know, if you were both good and it, you know, that could get an hour. Instead, it gets half of one segment that follows Pac-Man Jones talking about the food in Atlanta strip clubs. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Hal Gill and I, if you listened to our program yesterday, am not happy with how the Predators played against Vegas the other day. But more importantly, I am not happy with the words of the general manager that speak for the team and kind of the way they see things. Hal and I will discuss that next. Stoneman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.